Welcome into the Grip Lock Preview Show. Today we're going to be previewing the 2024 Beaver State Fling. I'm your host, Trevor. Just me today. Hunter's actually on vacation. We will bring him in briefly for predictions at the end of the show, but I'm just going to walk you through the Beaver State Fling going down this weekend in Oregon, the last stop on the West Coast swing. So starting with the course preview, we're at the historic Milo MacGyver. This is one of the top courses in the country, deservedly so. It's a beautiful property. I got the opportunity to play this course last summer, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous park out there. Very historic event, but is just now being upgraded to Elite Series on the Pro Tour. It used to be a national tour back in the day, and most recently last year was a Silver Series on the Pro Tour, but is now a full Elite Series. So once again, Milo MacGyver is featured at the top of our sport with the strongest field possible. And as far as the players that are actually showing up. And yeah, it is our last stop on the West Coast swing before we start moving back across. There's going to be a big European swing as well that happens before we get super far east. But going over the course specifically, so they're playing the Riverbend Gold layout. This is a kind of mixture of the property. It's not necessarily one of the traditional ones. It's very similar to what they played last year at the Silver event. There's only a few changes and some different order based on the holes they inserted. There's some new OB. The biggest trends is that they slightly shortened it as well. The MPO will now be playing a par 65 instead of a par 67, although for the FPO, it will still be a par 69 as it was last season, even though they did shorten it just a little bit as well. Going over the course in general, it's interesting because you see a lot of trees. You might even think to yourself it's more of a wooded course, but that's not really the case. There's a couple holes that play in the woods, but most of it is very fair. There's plenty of open room, some lower ceilings to deal with, as we saw last week at Portland, but it does require distance and that ceiling control, and you have plenty of space to navigate. Overall, if you look at the course last year, it played as the sixth longest course on tour, but played as the 10th easiest. So what that tells you is the par was more than fair. This is also a silver event last year, so the field wasn't even as strong as it will be this year. So it'll be interesting to see if shortening the course a little bit, changing some of the pars, adding in an additional par three, what that does to the scoring, because people do score well at this property. The course record actually was shot last year. Like I said, new layout, so this is course record was going to be established. But Carter Aarons had a 12 under. The average score per round was 2 under par last season as well. And the winner last year, Eagle McMahon, came in at 35 under over 3 rounds. So plenty of scoring goes on at this course as long as the weather permits. And the weather is looking great this weekend. Shouldn't have any rain. Looking like mostly sun. Maybe a little bit of wind, but nothing too crazy. So once again, it should be great to watch Milo MacGyver and awesome to see it at a full Elite Series event. I'm for sure looking forward to it. I could tell just from playing this course last year that there's plenty of chances to stretch it out with your distance. But at the end of the day, navigating the OB and really controlling your angles as you land is important, because there's a lot of places where you're throwing hyzer shots and skips can get out of control, in my experience. So that'll be interesting to watch. Let's get into some of the storylines for this event. So as far as the MPO division going into this, there's definitely a lot of players to keep our eye on. You know, as the season is really marinated and we're beyond halfway through the season at this point, there's quite a lot of players we need to be keeping our eyes in, mostly ones I've written down here that are looking to get their season going. And look no further than Eagle McMahon. Eagle McMahon is the most dominant player in the tournament history. Him and Ricky are the two most dominant, but Eagle won it last year, like I mentioned, in this layout, or a very similar layout for the Silver Series at 35 under. If you look at his average score over the last two times he's played it, that's much higher than anybody else. He has been very, very dominant at this course. It makes sense. It lines up for a lot of the shots he throws. He just seems to be good in the Pacific Northwest in general, but obviously we've been tracking him coming back from his injury, switching to MVP. It's been a slow but steady journey back into the top of the leaderboard. When he first came back, it was a little bit rough at Champions Cup. That was to be expected at that difficult track. The last few weeks, he's climbed and climbed and climbed to taking 10th place last week at Portland, a course he plays typically well at. So it's tough to say if he's all the way back, if this is a tournament we can expect him to contend in, I would say yes. I think that 10th place last week shows us that he's playing very capable golf, and if he can get off to a good start, I expect Eagle could be very dangerous at this event. It would make a lot of sense for him to get his first win back on the tour here in Oregon at the Beaver State Fling, an event that he has won multiple times. I believe he has 1, 2, 3 times winning this event in the past. Another player who has won this event quite a few times, not in this layout necessarily though, is Ricky Wysocki. Ricky won in 2016 and 2017, plays great at this property. And you want to talk about another guy who needs a win bad. You got to talk about Ricky Wysocki. We're saying it every week at this point, but there are so many quality players that are leaving him in the dust right now in win total, and it's certainly not out of reach. It only takes a few good weekends to get right back in the mix, but I'm sure he's very frustrated that he's come this far into the season, played solid golf, but not quite gotten his win yet. I know that he will be licking his chops at another course that he has historically played well at. In his past two events there, he's averaged 25 under par. He's got plenty of top threes as well. It actually, if you look at another interesting stat here we have from Edwin, is the number of players to finish in the top 10 every start with at least two. Ricky's not a part of that list. Eagle is. He's gotten in the top 10 every time he's played there. Gannon Burr also in there. He's going to be a player to watch as always. And then the other interesting one is Joel Freeman. Joel Freeman is a player that has kind of been highlighted by a number of people as somebody who plays really well at this event, but he's not going to be there. He's not registered, does not have a tee time. Joel Freeman didn't really make the trip out there. I don't believe he played in Portland last week as well, but that does leave one other player kind of from that more dark horse mix that does play historically well here, and that's Garrett Gerthy. That's a player who I believe he may have had a lead last year at the Silver event at one point. Always seems to play decently on this part of the tour, has been very quiet this season, but look out for Double G at this course. It's one that he has played at really well. He also has one of the best scoring averages over his past few events there. The fourth best, in fact, only behind Eagle, Ricky, and Joel, who I mentioned is not going to be there, which is really impressive. He tops a lot of really great names. And another, this is a fun storyline to talk about for an MPO player, is Nate Doss. Nate Doss is making his return. Heck, if you're a really new listener to this show, you probably only know Nate Doss as a commentator on the Disc Golf Network, but a legend of the game, multiple time world champion, and he has not played professionally since 2018. At all on his PDGA. In fact, his PDGA membership had expired, which I thought was really funny, and he had to renew it to play in this Pro Tour event. But Nate Doss is making his return. Another funny thing is he's still 1038 rated because his rating had frozen, and when he left his career, he was still a very good disc golfer. So he's one of the highest rated players in the field, believe it or not. Going to be interesting to see how that propagation goes in the rating system, depending on how he plays. But be on the lookout for Nate Doss. He is going to be the hometown favorite. I believe he lives up there in Oregon now, where he does his brewery. And yeah, everybody is going to be rooting on Nate Doss. You should be rooting him on. It's going to be really interesting to see what he's got. He always had a really smooth game, great backhand. He probably knows the course really well. It is a much longer layout. I mean, this course does stretch out. They inserted a couple more short par threes this year, but there's still a lot of long throws in this course. I'd be interested to see how he holds up. I don't know how much disc golf he's still playing these days. So, yeah, just be watching for Nate Doss. We'll be rooting him on. It'd be awesome if he got in the mix somehow. Just at least onto a lead card would be so incredible. So we'll see what happens there. And then a couple other players to mention for MPO. Isaac Robinson's another guy we've been tracking, looking to get that first win of the season. He's also been heating up, had another top four finish at Portland last week. However, he is 28th in his average scoring over the last few events there. His top finish is 20th at this event. Now, like I said, with all these stats, you have to remember the layout of this course has changed a lot. But something to keep in mind, this is a course that should shape up just fine for him. I think he even mentioned himself that putting was a little bit of the difference last weekend for him, but he's throwing the disc really well and still looking for that first win. And then, as always, like I mentioned before, Gannon Burr plays well here, plays well everywhere this season, and certainly going to be dangerous once again. So that's about it for MPO. Moving over to FPO, I think the most interesting storyline here is Paige Pierce, and that being her absence. So she just won in Portland last weekend. It was a huge storyline. Everybody talking about Paige Pierce being back, playing awesome disc golf. What does this mean? And most importantly, will it continue? I think so many of us were anxious to see, is Paige Pierce going to week after week now rattle off some great performances with her newfound confidence? And we're not going to see it this weekend. She's not playing in Portland, which means the field is completely wide open because the European players are still not are still overseas. Paige Pierce, who just coming off of a win, ton of momentum, not playing. That means the field is wide open, especially for players such as Missy Gannon and Owen Scoggins, two of our top remaining players on tour still over here. Plenty capable, definitely going to be feeling the need to grab a win while the field is so open and the opportunity is there to strike. Another player, Holland Hanley, is probably going to be looking to grab a win here as well. She's been very close, just hasn't been able to put it together every round in a tournament so far to get to the top of the podium. Going to be tracking her as well. And another interesting one carrying over from Portland is Sophia Donaghy. If you remember, she made her way up to the lead card, I believe ended up finishing in third, she did, and shot the course record at Portland last weekend, and she's playing here again, so that'll be an interesting one. She just really started to get her momentum going on the tour. She's just really dipping her feet onto the tour now. So there's not a huge track record there, but we saw a lot of raw talent. Who knows what we'll see here at Portland? Another course that I feel like she could thrive at. She's a great thrower of the disc, has good angle control. That's going to be fascinating to watch. Was it lightning in a bottle last week? There's still a lot of time to decide that, but it'll be interesting to see if she can carry over what she started last weekend and move that here to the Beaver State Fling. So that's kind of our breakdown of the Beaver State Fling. We're still going to do our predictions, however. Like I said, we have Hunter's predictions. We will cut those in after mine, and I'll lead off, though, with my MPO predictions. I've got Gannon Burr coming in third place. I think he's going to play really well here. Hard to predict back-to-back wins, though, at this point. That's not something that happens often enough for me to be super confident, although it wouldn't shock me. I'm going to take Eagle McMahon in second. I'm still waiting to, like, I've been kind of throwing him in my top three a lot lately because I just feel like that tournament where he finally figures it out and puts it all together is coming, and I want to be there when it happens, so maybe I'll just keep predicting him over and over again. But I do have Eagle McMahon in second. At the number one spot, though, I have Ricky Wysocki. He's played really well at this property in the past. I think that he is going to figure it out and put together a great round one, get off to a good start, and stay there. I think he's going to take what he's seen out of guys like Calvin and Gannon, who at times this season were in need of a win, and just put the pedal to the metal and went and took it. I think Ricky's the next guy to do that, and I think he needs to win badly, and that's why I've got him winning this one. Moving over to FPO, pretty chalk with the field being as weak as it is. It makes it a little easier to pick, but I've got Holland Hanley in third, Missy Gannon in second, and Owen Scoggins in first. I expect that trio to finish in the top three, really in any order. I'm going to give Owen the slight edge. I think she's been playing some solid golf recently, but I'd be very shocked to not see that trio perform really well with the field being as open as it is, not having the European players, not having Paige Pierce coming off of a win. Who knows, though? There could be a lot of FPO players looking at this as an opportunity to sneak back up there. Maybe Ella Hansen grabs a second win. Maybe Val Mandahano finally breaks through and does something and challenges for a win for really the first time this season. Finally, I do have my dark horse pick. I'm riding with Gavin Babcock. He's been playing really good golf. Got me the win last week, and I see no reason not to take him here. So we'll go ahead and cut in Hunter's predictions now.
For Beaver State Fling, my MPO picks are Eagle McMahon to come in third. I want Gannon Burr to come in second. And I think Calvin Heimberg takes it down. Over on the FPO side, I'm going with Owen Scoggins taking it down. Holland Handley coming in second. Missy Gannon coming in third. And then dark horse, give me Paul Ulibarri. I like him.
All right, so Hunter's predictions there, definitely a little bit different from mine. He also is kind of seeing Eagle jumping into the mix here. He did have Calvin, though, taking it down, and I did not have him in my top three, so that's one of those where I definitely could regret that. We'll see how that works out for me. Definitely pretty similar on the FPO predictions. Paul Ulibarri is the dark horse I really like. Another guy who's just been sneaky good. I'm really honestly surprised he's still outside of the top 30 in the world rankings. I feel like he deserves to be higher. World rankings are a little bit crazy. I mean, Kevin Jones is still 34th, and he should be much lower than that at this point. But we'll see what happens. Neither of us brave enough to take Nate Doss, I guess, as our dark horse pick. That would have been a fun one. Probably should have went for it. But that's all I've got for the preview of this weekend's Beaver State Fling. Make sure to check it out. Watch the coverage. Just me today. Hopefully you didn't mind it. Hunter's on vacation, so had to fill in. But hopefully that was an adept preview of what you're going to expect this weekend. And we will be back to recap it on Grip Locked Monday morning.